I need somebody.
Good morning.
Help, not just anybody. Help. You know I need someone.
Help. Wake up, Denver. This is You Get the Blessing. I was younger, so much younger than today. You're listening to the Beatles. Anybody's helping anyway. Now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. And everybody needs help. I like the lyrics to this song. All right. Thanks for tuning in today. Like I said, I'm Bo Mitchell. This is You Get the Blessing, and our program exists because we introduce you each week to individuals that we believe are impacting this community and the world for the cause of Jesus Christ. And our guest today is a man who fills that description thoroughly, Mr. Kent Shaw. Kent, thanks for being here.
Bo, good to be here.
You are one of a kind, and we're going to learn a lot about you. First of all, listeners, I just say... We expose you aggressively and hopefully tastefully to the greatest life available Amen. To anybody in the world, and that's a life in relationship with Christ. We're not about churchianity. We're not about we're not about religiosity. We're about a relationship with Christ and Christianity. And today we're going to talk about a specific component of what it means to be a Christian, but first, I want to learn about Kent and his background. So, Kent, where were you raised, and what was the climate around your home as a kid?
Well, I grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana, and had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. Both of my parents were in a relationship with Jesus Christ. My mother went to NIAC Missionary College in a Missionary Alliance school in New York, wanted to be a missionary to India, got a nursing degree, ended up in Indiana. So I always told my mom she just wasn't listening carefully enough. But
missed it.
But I grew up in a Christian home, but like a lot of kids growing up in a Christian home, in my junior high, high school years, I just drifted away. I thought I made a profession of faith.
Like drunk and wild?
No, just into myself, into sports, into school. I was actually a good student. Wanted to be a dentist, was going to go to dental school. Went to Indiana University. And about
just a competitor who kind of drifted from a core of understanding.
Core of understanding. It was
the source here is Christ.
Yeah, it wasn't my faith. It was my parents' faith at that time.
Gotcha.
And at the end
and
of
you
my,
don't get in, by the way, by hitchhiking on grandparents.
No, you can't.
You decide for yourself. Yeah,
exactly right, man. You're going to stand in front of the Lord by yourself. And
yes or no.
You're exactly right.
And yours was a solid maybe.
Solid maybe until the end of my sophomore year of college. Indiana University. It was Bob Knight's third season, so we were winning great basketball games. It was so much fun. But
wow, did you ever get to meet him?
I actually never met him, but I met knew several of the assistant coaches, and I had them. I was living in a fraternity of 95 guys, and I had one of the assistant coaches come in and speak to our fraternity, and
good.
We had a couple guys on our in a fraternity that played for Knight. But the long story short was that I was right where I thought I wanted to be. All my goals, everything was going great. And there was an emptiness. And I was thinking, there's got to be more to life than this. And I remembered what I had heard growing up as a kid. And either it dawned on me, either Jesus Christ is who he says he is, or he's not. And if he is who he says he is, then that demands all of me, not just maybe part of me. And so August 5th, 1974 is a long story, but I surrendered my life radically to Jesus Christ. And next day I... went over to a girl that I thought I was going to be marrying, dated her for 3.5 years, and it became very clear to me that we just weren't on the same page. And so I had to end that relationship for a lot of reasons. And I did. Went back to the fraternity. I had the privilege of leading 6 or 7 fraternity brothers to Christ that first year. And it was a wonderful, wonderful season.
Okay, so a listener that's tuned in that thinks, you know, I'm a good guy. I do a good job helping people. I haven't really read the Bible, but I believe all this is good. What can we say to them specifically? Maybe they're missing like you were missing before August 5th, 1974.
Well, what I was missing was that God's standard is not my standard. God's standard is so much higher than mine. And God doesn't, my standard of my goodness isn't God's standard. God's standard is so much higher. And it's so much higher that no man could meet it. That's why he sent his son. It says, what the law could not do, weak as it was to the flesh, God did. God sent his son. And God sent his son for me because I could not meet his standard, but his son could and did. And it's mine if I would embrace it.
So by faith, we receive Christ, and then we come through Christ into God's incredible favor.
Exactly right.
Clean,
and into
pure,
his family.
And into his family as
That's right.
children of God.
Amen.
So listeners, you're listening to the voice there, Kent Shaw, my guest today on You Get the Blessing. This is Bo Mitchell, your host, and we're just talking a little bit about Kent's background. And changes do happen when you come to the realization that, wait a minute, I just got one foot in the water here. I've been kicking the tires, but I haven't bought the car yet. And then you realize all that I'm asked to do is to say a very complete, loud yes and make a commitment, just like we did when we put these wedding rings on.
That's right.
In my case, 46 years ago. And that doesn't mean you're perfect
no.
overnight. It just means you sort of understand who you are and who God is and how you can achieve a life of meaning and purpose.
And what it means, too, is that you just said, we're not perfect, but Jesus is.
Yep.
And that's been given to me and to you and to all who will believe. And that's what God's standard is, perfection. And his son met that. And it's free to all who will embrace it.
In fact, Kent is involved with Harvest Bible Chapel. I'm sorry, I don't know your official title. Are you a church planter?
Yes, my title is Executive Director of Brave Fellowship, which is the church planting and training arm of Harvest Bible Chapel Denver.
Okay, so Harvest Bible Chapel Denver is pastored by Jeff Schwarzentraub. And just a couple weeks ago, he was doing a sermon on Christian liberties. And he said, you know, sometimes we get to thinking that what the rules are is don't drink and don't chew and don't date girls that do. And like I tell my guys in chapel with the Rockies, that may be part of it someday.
Right.
But that's not the core issue. And that's what Jeff was teaching that day.
That's right.
The critical issue is, have you said yes to Jesus?
That's right.
And in some cases, like in your case, when you say yes to Jesus, the next day you go and say, you know, this relationship's not right.
That's right.
And you broke up with
That's right.
a girl. She's still sobbing somewhere.
That's right. I don't know, but God bless her anyway.
And you got married?
Been married. I'll be 39 years this August to a wonderful, godly woman, 3 kids, 2 grandsons.
And when were you specifically called into church planting?
I spent 20 years in the marketplace, loved the marketplace. I was in healthcare, worked first for Eli Lilly, then worked for a small startup home IV therapy company. Then I managed a partnership between some big teaching hospitals in Chicago and Boston. And in 20 years ago—
So you were good at it.
I loved it. I was very good at it. God gave me favor, success. I enjoyed it. I loved being in the marketplace. I had the privilege of leading several guys to Christ. It was wonderful. I loved building teams. I was all in. And
our
really
friend Chuck King says the strongest aspect of your Christian witness as a business person in the marketplace is competence.
It sure is.
And you were.
By God's grace, I was. And God, it's competence plus, Bo, it's God's favor. God gives favor.
Amen.
It says in Psalm 5, it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield.
And
I
yet
want
you walked away from that.
I walked away from it because I had been sensing and God had been stirring in my heart that that season was coming to an end. Even though I was very, very active in the marketplace, I mean, I was all in. I was also very, very involved in church life. I had been serving as an elder. I helped the church plant a church, served as a, you know, just very, my wife and I are just very involved. We believe that the church is God's plan to reveal his son and to grow his people. And so I just had a sense that God was leading me and didn't know exactly what it was, and he made it clear. And I left the marketplace in 1998, actually in 1997, and went to be the first executive pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel, the founding church in Chicago, and did that for 3 years, stayed on as an elder, went back to the marketplace, and then came back a few years later to head up their church planting ministry.
And although it is true that if I stand in my garage tonight, all through the night, I won't wake up in the morning and have turned into a car.
Right.
The same true if you sit in a church year after year, day after day, that does not going to turn you into a Christian.
Exactly right.
Although those things are true, going to church is part of what the Bible instructs us to be, the obedient life that we should live for our own welfare after we
come
to Christ.
That's right.
So where is that passage in the Bible that says church is important?
Well, there's several, but let me give you one. It says Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking our assembling together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. And notice the word encouraging one another. There's something about God's design for people that we are meant to be with other people. You know, what's the difference between being an orphan and being in a family? It's a gigantic difference. I mean, you have all the benefits of hopefully a loving family and of learning how to live with one another. God meant us to live in community. And while it's true with our family, it's also true with the family of God, that God did not, though we come to Christ individually, and like you said, it's not going to church, it's making a decision, it's yielding yourself, yielding your will, recognizing what God has done. God has designed life for the Christian to grow in a community of people. And that's why we go to church, not to be good, but to go together, to worship the Lord together, to strengthen one another. The Bible has a great passage in Proverbs 27. It says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And the fact of the matter is that there are no lone rangers in the Christian life. That's not the way God designed it. He wants us to live in community with people, to learn how to do life. There's something about that that's so vital for our growth, and absent of that, we'll not grow as we should.
So Harvest Bible does not exist just to grow into this megachurch, but it exists in part to plant other churches in other communities and other parts of the country and the world, so people can come explore, hopefully find the right mix and the right comfort.
That's exactly right. And
a home.
That's exactly right. We exist to first to glorify God and to come and to worship Him, but then to get to know each other and love and to strengthen each other and to help each other grow. I need people in my life that love me enough that will speak into my life, that when I'm acting like an idiot, I need someone to tell me that.
Which you're not ever.
Well, sometimes I am. But I need people to do that, and people need that in my life. And people need, sometimes you need a helping hand, and that's what the church is. It's to come alongside, say, hey, come on, you can do this. Keep going. You're doing great. Or you can do, you're better than that. Let's move forward in this way. Let's seek the Lord together. And something very powerful about that.
Let's talk first about Harvest Bible Chapel Denver. What time of day are you folks meeting today?
We meet, our services are three times of the weekend. We meet Saturday night at 5 p.m., Sunday morning at 9, and Sunday at 11.
And I promise you, you'll walk in there and feel at home and comfortable. The worship music, the worship team, and the pastor and everybody that greets you, it's just a good climate, good place to feel loved and accepted.
It is.
So give us a location.
Location is 3651 South Colorado Boulevard in Englewood. That's 3651 South Colorado Boulevard in Englewood.
So get to the corner of Hamden and Colorado Boulevard and just go a little bit south on Colorado Boulevard. You see a big giant cross at the far side of the parking lot, the front of the building, and go in there at 9 and 10:30 on Sunday.
Yeah, 9 and 11 on Sunday. And
5, 9 and 11.
Or if you work on the weekends or you can't make it on Sunday, we have a Saturday night service at 5 p.m.
For golfers, too.
Golfers, yes, some golfers, some guys that go to the Broncos game come on Friday. Saturday.
You got elders that go on Saturday.
That's right.
Cal Van Essen.
No, that's
actually,
right.
Cal likes 9 o'clock Sunday.
Yes, he does.
Okay, so church planting means starting up a new church in a new community. How do you go about doing that, and what's the plan for Kent Shaw, our guest today, and his next years on this planet?
Well, the Christian life, as you mentioned earlier, is built on faith. You put faith in Jesus, but faith is just the beginning point. It's not the ending point because we continue to walk by faith. Jesus, or the Apostle Paul says, we walk by faith and not by sight, and that the righteous man shall live by faith. So to answer your question, first of all, it's a work of faith. We are believing God. And I would just say, we're believing God in this point, Bo. We're believing that Jesus said in Matthew 16, I'm fairly certain, 16 or 18, I'll look it up here in a second. But in Matthew 16, Jesus said, I'll build my church. And Jesus is the one that builds the church. So basically, answer your question, Bo, we go where we see God opening doors. Henry Blackaby wrote a great book many, many years ago called Experiencing God. And one of the things he said is find out where God's at work and go join him. Mm. And just to give you a little bit of a history of this, when we started planting churches 20 years ago, when I was at the Harvest in Chicago, which is the church that planted our church in Denver, our goal was to plant 10 churches in 10 years. And we thought that was, and it was, a hairy, audacious goal. We didn't know what we were doing. And we thought we'd plant all over the Chicagoland area. That was our plan. Well, man plans his ways, Bo, but you know God directs his steps.
And how many we planted out?
We planted 160 churches.
Just missed it by 150.
That's right. 160 in 15 years in 19 countries. That was never our plan.
And these churches in size could range from
20 to 200? Yeah. I would say we have churches in Nepal. Believe it or not, Nepal. I had to go back and look in the map where Nepal was, and that's... That's not a good indication of what kind of student I was. I was a better student than that. But
I don't know where it is.
But it's near India and Pakistan. And
I thought it was Florida, but then no, that's Naples.
Naples, that's right. That's right.
Excuse me.
Yeah. So we have churches there. They're 40, 50. We have churches. Our biggest church in the fellowship is Church of 4,000 up in Canada.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So whatever. Wherever you're welcome, wherever God leads.
That's exactly
160
right.
Churches you've been a part of planting.
In 19 countries.
And now what's the goal for the next 15 years?
I came on to Denver, and we planted Harvest Denver 7 years ago, and it's one of our healthiest and most vibrant churches, and I have a special affection and love for Pastor Jeff. And
so do I.
So our goal is we're asking the Lord for 1,000 churches in the next 15 years out of this church.
How can you physically possibly pull that off?
We cannot. But Jesus is the one who said, I'll build my church.
This is Kent Shaw you're listening to here, guys. He's, I forgot already.
Executive Director of Harvest
of
Bray Fellowship.
I'm just going to call you a staff member at Harvest Bible
you
Chapel.
Can do that.
And
that's
one
fine.
Of the great guys I've met in the last 30 years and a church planter.
Yes.
And he just said right here on the air, they're shooting to plant 1,000 churches in the next
15 years.
I thought you said 100 years.
No, 15 years. And, you know, we're taking that on this. The scripture says that God is able, and you know this verse, is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Number one. Number
you
two.
You know what? I went to prison, no joke, 26 years ago because I thought I was able.
Yes.
And I thought I was doing it, and I thought God was sharp for picking me.
Yes.
And I did a word study on the word able. And it's God that's able.
Not only that, he has ways of reorienting our thinking, doesn't he?
Yeah, like he is also able, it says, to humble the proud, which was me.
Well, and he humbled me too, Bo. I thought I wanted to go to dental school. I was in dental school. It took me 3 years to realize it wasn't dental school I hated, it was dentistry. I failed miserably. You would not want me working in your mouth with a high speed drill, but you know what it was? God is able to humble.
Count your blessings, because I got a brother-in-law who's a dentist and a number of good friends who are dentists, and they say very shortly into their career, it's so repetitive that they get bored and it's painful.
Well, God in his goodness delivered me, but first he had to humble me. And So
God is able to plant these churches.
He's able to plant them, and Jesus said, I mean, look, but we said we'd do 10 churches in 10 years, and instead we did 160 in 15. And so we're now saying, Lord, we want to do 1,000. So who knows what God's going to do? And you know what? We write all our goals in pencil because we want the Lord's will. We don't want our will, but we're asking him. And Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Let me ask you, Bo, is it a good thing to ask God to plant churches and exalt his son?
Absolutely.
And so we're asking him to do that. And we do that because we want to see Christ exalted. He's the hope of the world. I mean, look how God had to change you and had to change me. He had to radically change us. But he wants to do that.
God loves us enough. He loves us so much that he accepts us just like we are.
Exactly right.
So if you're still kicking the tires, haven't bought the car yet, I'm telling you, read the third chapter of John, and you'll see that you listeners, each one of you, God's favorite creation, and he accepts you just like you are. But as Kent Shaw, our guest, just said, he also loves you so much that he's not going to allow you to stay the same. He's going to bring about in your life changes for the good of you as his child and your family and your friends and everybody you come in contact with. Maybe this whole world if you're a church planter like Kent Shaw.
Well, and you know, Bo, the Bible would talk about the process of God making us more like a holy man or a woman. That has kind of a weird connotation today. But really what holiness is happiness. When God is shaping us and changing, he's doing that to make us more like Jesus. It's going to make us a lot happier. I'm a lot happier today than I was, you know, 40 years ago.
There's no more meaningful or purposeful life you can have than a life
exactly
in relationship
right.
with Christ and serving him and his people.
Exactly right.
So that's why you're happy.
I'm totally happy. And the Bible says in his presence is the fullness of joy. And when you get to know Jesus, he dwells in us. And then we experience his joy. And it's an unshakable joy. It's a joy that's not dependent on your golf game. It's not dependent on your bank account.
Rockies record,
Cubs record, Bears record, my Indiana Hoosiers record, who lost last night to Illinois. They missed 15 free throws, and they lost by two. They don't deserve to win. Sorry, you can edit that, but I just...
No so, editing here.
That really
unless
was trouble.
Swear, which I've never heard you swear. So what's going to happen to me if I decide to go to church? What are the benefits? What are the features and benefits of becoming a part of a church?
Well, first benefit is this. The Bible says that God's word is an active, living, powerful word. It's one of his agents of change in our lives. And it says it won't come back empty. So by you exposing yourself to the word of God, you're putting yourself in a place where you can let God begin to work in your heart to change your thinking. So much of our problems in life, but because we got wrong thinking. And so one of the benefits of going to church is you get exposed to the truth of God. God says, my ways aren't your ways. Learn my ways and you'll be blessed.
Higher,
better, richer, fuller.
So if you're not in the habit of cracking open the Bible there on your shelf, it's got dust, and you just want a little bit of shove in the right direction, you're saying, come to church. And you will get exposed to the Word of God.
And the Word of God has, because it's living and active and sharpened and true, it has abilities to not only change us, but give us new appetites, including appetites for the things of God. You and I both know that. We need God to help us pursue the right things. We know a lot of times the right things to do, we don't. So that's another benefit of going to church. We're reminded, yes, this is the way. I want to stay on it. This is the path forward that's going to lead to life and blessing. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. God wants to give us abundant life. He wants us to know the fullness of him.
So if you're listening and you feel discouraged, confused, lonely, first of all, Kent and I would say, explore a relationship with Christ. But secondly, explore it through exposing yourself to what goes on at church and what these great pastors like Bob Belts, Jeff Schwarzentraub, others around town have to offer. So Harvest Bible Chapel, located just off the corner of Hamden and Colorado Boulevard, just south on Colorado Boulevard, 3651 South Colorado Boulevard. You'll go in there and you'll feel comfortable. You won't feel pressured, but you will hear unmistakably the word of God out of Pastor Jeff's mouth.
Exactly right.
And so what else? That's good.
Well, you get to know other people who are like-minded, people that you share the same values or you want to share the same values. So you can enter into deeper friendships, deeper relationships. We need that in our lives.
And you'll feel welcome there?
You feel welcome, you feel loved. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus was full of grace.
Well, I feel pressured and cornered to get in a small group or something.
No, we don't put any pressure on people. You know what? We want you to come as you are and see who God is afresh and be reminded of his plans for your life. Be reminded of what a great gift his son is.
Is somebody going to put their arm around me and sway and sing Kumbaya?
No, unless you really want that. If you want that and ask for it, we'll do it.
I don't want it. I'm scared of that.
Yeah, no, well, then you don't need to worry about that. You know, the goal is we want people to come and to know that they're loved, not only by God and Jesus, but by us. That's why we're here. And that God would desire for them to go closer to Him. And one of the ways we grow closer to Him is we get to in relationship with other people. But relationships take time. So it can't be mandated. It can't be forced. So we just allow God to work that out in His time, and He does.
So we're telling you, going to church, wherever that might be, opening yourself up to what the Bible has to say is maybe the first step for you to really understanding what this life is about. The creator and the author of life, God Himself, through the person of Jesus Christ, wants a relationship with us. So thousands of people listening, in closing, what would you say just to encourage people that are thinking, I thought I was in, but I'm not sure, or just any listener that maybe is confused?
What I would say would be, take seriously and examine the claims of Christ. He is either the greatest person on earth, and we believe He's greater than a person, or He's the greatest fraud, because He's made unbelievable promises. He said He's the only way to God. He said that He will, if you believe in Him, you'll have eternal life. And He either is who He said He is, or He's not. And I am persuaded down to my bones He is all He said He is.
Amen. In fact, we're staking our lives on it.
Amen. Giving our whole life to it.
You're one of the great leaders I've encountered ever. So
well, thank you, Bo.
1,000 churches in 15 years.
Pray for us, will you?
I think God can do it, but I think He's picked a good servant in you to help Him.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for being on this show today.
It's been my privilege, and thank you, Bo, for all you're doing.
Hey, glad to be on the team, and glad you're on the team, listeners. Thanks for tuning in today, and we'll see you again next week right here on You Get the Blessing.
You know I need someone. When I was younger, so much younger than today.